Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, portions of that, and then chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Portions out of chapter 11, Hebrews 11, beginning of verse 1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go. By the way, didn't tell him where to go. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea. Later on in that chapter, how much more, the writer says, do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Jacob and Joseph, of Daniel, of Gideon, of Samson, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. Others, though, were tortured for refusing to turn from God. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. And then out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the writer says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "Consider him, Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We're not sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. There are many names thrown out there by experts in that research, but it may have been Paul, it may have been somebody else. But it was written about 30 years after Christ left earth, after he ascended into heaven, and at a time when the Jews who had converted to Christianity and followed Christ were drifting away from the faith in Christ. They were weary of the persecution that they were getting as Christians, struggling to stay strong in an ever-growing hostile environment against them. And they were beginning to turn away from their faith in Christ and revert to Judaism. They were being criticized, condemned, jailed, and killed for their faith. And many who were still alive had lost loved ones and everything they owned, often left homeless and without hope. To encourage them, the writer of Hebrews points them toward the faithful people from Jewish history, some of whom I read a minute ago and mentioned, who had persevered for God. People that these folks in that time that the writer was writing to would have heard about, and who had done great things with and for God. And then the writer urges them to, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He points them to Christ to remain strong. The people knew that not only was Jesus Christ God, but also that he had suffered beyond anything those faithful people from the past had suffered, or that they themselves were suffering right then. So, consider him, the writer says, to find strength. Pointing them beyond the difficulties and storms of their day, he pointed them to their ultimate example and source of faithfulness and endurance and strength, Christ, to restore their hope. Maybe we're not homeless. Maybe we each have enough to get by each day. But I wonder if there are times when we need an extra dose of hope, some ray of light, something just to lift us in the moment, in whatever we're facing. A fresh reminder, perhaps, that Christ is our example and our source of strength to face whatever difficulties or storms are in our lives, to face whatever is pulling us back or holding us down and keeping us from becoming all we were created to be. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's failure again. Unending criticism from falling short once again of somebody else's expectations. Doubt that creeps in. Disappointment. Guilt. Worry. Whatever. In the midst of those, where's our focus? Is it on all those problems of the day and our emotions that wrap around them and the drag of memories from the past? Or is our focus the same as that great cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews talks about, that great cloud of witnesses whose focus was on God? Is our focus on the world and all of its stuff and its storms and standards and expectations, or is our focus on Him? The writer of Hebrews makes it abundantly clear what it should be. Now, last week we saw Christ walking on water to the disciples who were in a boat on a lake in a storm. Christ had put them in the boat and sent them out there, and He knew the storm was coming. We saw Peter, who was in the boat, reach out to Christ as He was walking toward them on the lake, while the others in the boat cowered in the boat. "Lord," he said, "if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and took off walking on the water toward Jesus in the midst of a horrendous storm. Peter should offer hope for all of us, for our todays and our tomorrows. He showed us where our focus in life should be, no matter what we're facing. He is the New Testament's resident obsessive compulsive personality, if you haven't figured that out. He is. He often acted on impulse. This time was no exception. He got out of the boat and began to walk on the water, at first laser focused on Christ. But then he felt the wind and he saw the waves all around him, and he began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus. That's us. That's you. That's me. It is. You know it is. That's what the followers of Christ were doing, that the writer of Hebrews was addressing in that day. We too have those moments when we get off to a great start and we're having a great day, a great game, week, class. We're spending time in the Word and prayer with our Lord, and our priorities are good. We got Him in the right place. We're out of the boat and walking on water toward Jesus and becoming more of who God wants us and created us to be. And then, yep, the storms hit. The wind howls. The waves lap over the sides. Fear rises. Uncertainty and anxiety reigns. Criticism hits. Grades come in lower than we expected. We're rejected by someone. We get sidetracked, discouraged, and we lose focus. Or maybe things are going so well in our lives, we're enjoying so much success, we start to believe the press clippings, so to speak, that others are writing about us, and we lose focus and forget who should be writing the press clippings and story of our life, and we begin to sink and lose our way and get off on the wrong path for our life. That's what happened to Peter. But remember, no matter how many times he failed, denied, and took his eyes off of Christ, Peter kept going back to and looking for Christ, who is always there, always waiting for him. Listen to this. Peter's failures were never final. If you remember nothing else today, remember that. With Christ within us and always at our side, your failures, my failures, are never final. They do not define us in the life God is still calling us to live. And that's something we need to remember for each day we face. Too often we allow the remembrance of past results, past shortcomings, mistakes and failures, missteps to define who we are today and forecast the view of our future, believing that the future will probably be the same as the past. Peter didn't do that because in the moments following his failures, he always reached again for Christ. His focus always returned to his first love, reminding us, like Peter knew, that with Christ, our failures, my friends, are never final. Christ defines our life and our futures. And I said fail a minute ago to describe Peter in that moment when he sunk walking to Jesus. But did he really fail? I suppose in a way he did. He He lost his focus in the storm. His faith was blown away by the wind. He took a detour from what Christ had called him to, and he came up short, and he sunk. He took his eyes off Christ and looked instead at what was happening all around him. He began to sink. That's you, and that's me. It is. It is. At least it's me. Okay? Stay there. But what about the other guys in the boat? I would suggest to you that the other disciples in that moment were failures, just sitting there in the boat, not even trying. Their failure was because they didn't even step out to try to become all they could be, to believe in and to live the life God intended for them to live. Peter was publicly embarrassed for a moment, but only Peter would know the exhilarating joy of the power of God helping him to do what he couldn't do himself, walking on the water. And he remembered that feeling forever. He felt the joy of being lifted by Christ from that pit, that watery pit of fear and anxiety. He knew in that exhilarating moment with Christ that Christ was all he ever needed. The others didn't experience that because they never got out of the boat. It's the same for us today. We can stay in the boat and let our current circumstances dictate our tomorrows and allow them, those past failures, to define us today and in the future and who the world sees us as. And, as I said, to paint our future. But if we do, we'll miss the life we were created by God to live. The life not defined by our past, by missteps and mistakes, but by the God who goes with us into today and all our tomorrows, so that we can have the eternal impact for good here and forever, all defined by his example for our lives. Why not instead consider him, look to, lean into, and follow Christ for strength, for assurance, and the exhilarating joy of having him lift us up in the midst of storms and allow him to point us to the hope and the life of all we can be with him and for him. My friends, we all know that the race we're on is grueling, tougher at times than other times, but grueling. The journey is full of ups and downs, storms and dry, long valleys. So where do we find the encouragement, the courage, the example for that next step? To stay the course, to not give in or to give up. One last time, my friends, from the writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 3, where he says, consider him, and he's referring to Christ, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There we have it. Look to Christ. Our failures are never final with him. Let our lives be defined by Christ and by his example in our life. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for the life of that man, Peter. He was an interesting guy. But thank you for that example, Lord, and for that message. And no matter what we go through, no matter, you're always there. And the mess-ups, the mistakes, the failures are never final in our lives. They do not define who we are today and in the days to come. We are defined by Christ and his example to us, whom we continue to follow and will follow and to be like. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that. Thank you for the reminder that whatever we do, the failures and mistakes we made are never final with you. Just turn and go with you into all that you created us to be and want us to be in the days ahead. And Lord, help us with you to help others to see the same thing and to do the same thing, to have impact on them for good, for an eternal good for their lives and the lives of others. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.